Joshua chapter 1, commencing to read at the first verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless to our hearts this morning the public reading of his word for Jesus' sake. The book of Joshua, please. One of the great books of the Bible. They're all great books, of course. But this one is a particular favorite of mine. Some wonderful events occurred in this book. And certainly Joshua is one of the great characters of Scripture. Unlike others, there's no scandal, no moral lapse, no rebellion marred his life. The Lord Jesus said to his people, be thou faithful unto death. And that certainly could be a summary of the life and witness of Joshua. Militarily, politically, and spiritually, he had few equals. That's one of the reasons why he's a good character to study. Sometimes you run away with the notion, you know, that these men and women who achieved great things for God and Scripture were somehow superhuman. Well, they weren't. They were just guilty, vile, wretched sinners like all the rest of us. But the Lord put his hand upon them, and they were willing. That's the point. They were willing for the will of God. Now, he's not restricted simply to the book that carries his name. Other books of the Bible have things to say about him. But there's immense profit to be had, I believe, from the study of a life like this. Bearing in mind all the time that he's just an ordinary man, called and equipped of God to do a work. I want to say just three things. And anyone who knows me will know that we'll not be keeping you. You'll not be going home to a burnt roast today. I can assure you of that. Think for a moment or two with me, please, of the character of the man called Joshua. We can know things about an individual by his background. Now, concerning his family, we're told in the first verse that he's a son of none. His first role in life is as a son. Some 30 times in Scripture, this is what Joshua is called, a son. He was the son of none. What an honor that brought to the family and to this man we know very little about, who's called none. But it is a lovely thing for a child to grow up bringing honor and not disgrace to parents. If you take the time, you'll discover by a way of contrast another man whose name began with J, whose father's name began with N, and he was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. You read about him in 1 Kings 16, the verse 26 and the verse 31. You read about him again in 2 Kings 3, verse 3, and then 2 Kings 10 and 29. We're not going to go into those verses just this morning, but when you read the story of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, his name appears some 21 times. And in many of those occasions, his name is speaking about his problem in causing Israel to sin. So Nebat had nothing to delight in his son, as none did in his son Joshua. I think the lesson is very simple, young folk. We should honor our parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, God says and God means. And the tragedy with today's society, this is not done in so many instances. There's no honor given to parents, not the way there should be. His name carries that wonderful meaning of salvation. When you think of Joshua's name, you think of salvation. It was Moses that changed his name, the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 16, tells us, to a name that means literally, Jehovah is salvation. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua. And 1 Chronicles 7 reminds us of the fact that Joshua was the firstborn in his family. And that teaches us something very wonderful, because that means that on Passover night, when the angel of death passed through Egypt, Joshua was saved by the blood of the Lamb. Tremendous thought that. Redeemed by the blood, the shed blood, the applied blood of the Lamb. His family. Then you remember his fetters, because he was a slave in Egypt. Remember that? Joshua wasn't born into royalty or into a nation of freedom. He was born into bondage, like every sinner, by the way. For all have sinned, the book says. The argument, and I hear them argue about this, some of these people who know so much about so much. And they talk about social lack makes a young person, turns them into a vandal or a criminal. That's not so. I was brought up, as many were, in abject poverty. We never had a bathroom or a toilet inside the house till I was in my teens. Brought up in poverty. The big tin bath in front of the fire in the living room on a Saturday night. My sister in it before me, maybe, and then me in it next. I tell you, it didn't make me go out and murder or break into shops or stores or rob the elderly. Not at all. Joshua was born a slave. Fettered. Abraham Lincoln, whose name would be known to us all, he was raised in poverty in a log cabin to reach the heights of power as President of the United States. Oh, his family, yes, we know something about that. We know something about his fetters. We know something about his fame as a soldier. Exodus 17 reminds us the first time he appears in Scripture, it is as a soldier. He must have already proved himself in battle. He may even have served in the Egyptian army as a conscript. But in that passage in Exodus 17, there's an interesting thing about Joshua, I think, worth looking at just for a second. You needn't turn to it, I'll read it, but it's Exodus chapter 17 and the verse 9. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go out fight with Amalek. Here's his task. He was to choose. Moses gave him the great responsibility of choosing the men for the fight. He was trusted to do this. He must have been a very perceptive man. But then notice not only the task that Moses gave him, notice the timing, because verse 10 says, Joshua did as Moses had said to him. I wonder, on a higher plane, do we always do what the Lord tells us to do? Are we willing soldiers in the fight? And he fought with Amalek. He must have been a very prompt man, because he did it as soon as he was told. And then his triumph is recorded in verses 13 and 14 of the chapter. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write it for a memorial in a book, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will already put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Here he subdues Amalek. Later in his life, it would be the whole of Canaan. You see, friend, if you're faithful in small things, God very often can bring you into blessing with greater thing. His fame. His fidelity. We're told in the chapter in Joshua 1 that he was Moses' minister. That's used as an expression three other times. Twice it's rendered as minister and twice as servant. The word literally means one to wait upon or to serve or to minister unto. And in this you can see the humility of the man. In the book of Exodus again, chapter 24 I think it is, Exodus 24 and verse 13, Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God, even after his great victory over Amalek, he's still the servant of Moses. You can see he's a humbled man, even though he's an honored man. And when Moses went up into the mountain, he left Joshua for 40 days alone. A.W. Pink makes the comment, what a testing of his fidelity was that. How different from Aaron, the whole nation left below on their own to go into idolatry and into sin. Joshua was faithful. And in the Book of Exodus, again, this is a book you often have to resort to when you're dealing with Joshua and with Moses. But in Exodus chapter 33 and the verse 11, at the end of the verse it says, "He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun," listen to it, "a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Here's a man who loved the house of God. He loved to be where God's presence dwelt. Now, nowadays, it can sometimes be a battle to get people, young and old, even into church at all. It's a fight. But not for Joshua. Even when Moses left the tabernacle, he lingered on. He loved the place where God dwelt. He was comfortable in the presence of God. You know why? Because he was a holy man. He was a holy man. And in all of that soldiering, and even as a spy, Joshua was a man of great courage. Now, when you read in Numbers, and that's another important point to make, it's Numbers chapter 13 and the verse 32. The men that went up, verse 31, "We'd not be able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." Turn over then to Numbers 14. And verse 6, "Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it us. It floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." What a contrast. Here's a man joined with Caleb, and he's steadfast. No wonder old Caleb, at 85 years of age, went to Joshua with the promise of God from the time he was 40 years old. And he said, "I was promised this mountain 45 years ago, and I'm as strong now as I was then. Give me the mountain." He claimed the promise and he waited 45 years to do it. He was steadfast as well as Joshua. Two, we have to say, giants of the faith. In Numbers chapter 14 and the verse 10, I think it is, all the congregation, after this great report, the congregation bade stone them with stone. Their people wanted to kill them. Why? Because of the report that they brought back. You see, Joshua, and on this occasion Caleb with him, stood apart from everybody else. They did what the rest of the people weren't prepared to do, because they feared, you see, the face of man. But not so these fellas. What a character Joshua was. But folks, he wasn't Superman. He was just a sinner redeemed by blood. Then there's very quickly the calling of the man. He had 40 years of preparation for this task. This didn't happen overnight. And taking over from Moses was no easy job. Sometimes we're asked, who's the greatest character in the scriptures? in the Old Testament. Well, I think it's not always easy or even right to have that comparison. But my answer is this. You know, the song that they sing is the song of Moses and the Lamb. I think that puts Moses in a very special position. They sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. So taking over from a man like Moses was difficult. And there was much preparation involved. Of course, there was also prayer. We read there again in the book of Numbers, and it's the chapter 27 and verse 15. Let me read it to you. Chapter 27, verse 15. Moses spake unto the Lord. So there wasn't only preparation, there was prayer here. Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. He was praying specifically for God's man, as a congregation has to do when there's a vacancy in the pulpit. Tandragee was filled on Friday night, as you know. That wasn't just done when they drew names out of a hat. There was prayer, there was preparation. And it was specific. A man which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. The congregation of the Lord, be not a sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, here's the answer. Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand on him. Here was God's choice, given an answer to prayer. Always bear that in mind. There's preparation, there's prayer, and then there's something else. There's the Word of God. The Word of God revealed Joshua to be God's man. Sometimes, you know, it's difficult to know what the Lord would have you to do. I never had a problem, I don't think I did, since I entered into God's work many years ago, with seeking to do God's will. I did have a problem in knowing God's will sometime. I was in the Dungannon Church for 18 years odd and was quite content. And a call came to me from Balnahinch. I told the Lord from the start, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, but I don't want to go where you don't want me to go. And I had to seek God for his will. And it didn't come from a newspaper. It came from the Word of God. Now, there's no verse that says, leave Dungannon, go to Balnahinch. Of course not. But there are principles. There are things that lead you a certain way. And these became very clear to me. One word I remember very clearly is the word as I was reading in my own reading. Now then, do it. That spoke to my heart too, among, of course, many other things. But it all came from preparation, prayer, and this principle of Scripture. Moses was told by God. God's word instructed Moses who to lay his hand upon. And folks, we'll only know success in the church and in the Lord's work as we're led of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. There are three things I pray for every day I pray. Cleansing in the blood, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and the sanctifying work of the Spirit through that Word. Because if you've experienced those three things, you're right where God wants you to be. We leave that with you to choose. And you can see that Moses was a Presbyterian, because we're told he was to lay his hands, as presbytery do when setting aside a minister of the word. The ministry followed all of that. And there's a sermon recorded in the book of Deuteronomy of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Let me just mention this. We're getting near the end. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 3 says, when Moses in verse 1 went and spake these words unto all Israel. Here was a message for the whole nation. He said unto them, I was 120 years old this day. I could no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, I should not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations. And that's a sermon worth considering. We haven't time to do that today. But here he's speaking as the leader of the people. And he's not only speaking as the leader of the people, he's speaking about the land of the people. In verse 2 and verse 3. And in verse 6, he speaks about the life of the people. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is he that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Christian, keep that in your mind and heart and thought all the time. He will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. The Bible says in another prophetic chapter, he will not fail. And he won't, you know. It speaks in that verse 6 clearly, not only about their life, but their Lord. Oh, listen, God is faithful. We really are a wretched bunch, you know. We're not fit to enter into the kingdom. We're those people the scripture speaks of in the whole world that are guilty before God, all of us, no exceptions. But the Lord of the people, he's the one that cares for us. In Numbers chapter 27, Moses gave Joshua a charge also. In Numbers 27 and verse 23. If I can get to it, Numbers 27. I'm looking in the book of Deuteronomy, that would explain what my mistake. Numbers 27, verse 23. He laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge. That's, by the way, where the principle comes from at an ordination service in our churches or an installation. The man preaches a charge to the newly ordained preacher. Installed man. And he gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. It was done in accordance with the word of God. You know why the free church flourished, particularly in the early times? They laid a great emphasis upon the word of God. This Bible, open before us, is our guide. This is Reformation year, as you know. We've just come back recently from Germany, where Luther was so prominent. I have a badge with Luther's face on it. It's a lovely wee badge. And the second time I had it on in my Sunday suit, a wee woman got out of the church one day. I was standing at the door. I saw her squinting at the badge. And she says to me, "Is that your wife's photograph there?" And I thought, well, Mary will be pleased to hear that. She looks like Luther, who wasn't the most movie star-looking individual you could think about. But I tell you, folks, listen. It's the Word of God. The free church is dependent upon the Word of God. And we're charged as ministers. If you were there on Friday night, you'd have heard it again. We're charged with certain things. We're charged with opposing the great evils of drinking, dancing, and gambling. I've tried to live with those principles. Sometimes your problem is when you go to Christian weddings, it's the bride and the groom that lead off the first dance. I'm supposed to be opposed to that, and I am opposed to it, of course. Why? Because I took that as a solemn vow in the presence of God and the congregation. You believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, not merely to contain, but to be the verbally inspired word of the living God. Yes, I do. Absolutely. From start to finish. I don't believe in meddling with those that are given to change. I stand by what the Word says, as far as I understand it and know it. Well, Moses was like that. Joshua was like that. The Word of God was precious. The calling of the man. God may never call you to the ministry or to the mission field, but He'll call you to be faithful to Him in your own church. That's what the Lord's looking for today in Crossgar. Because we finish with this thought, and we'll be very quick. The commitment of the man. Joshua was fully committed to the task that God gave him. And he did lead the people to victory. They did get into the promised land. And they're there yet, albeit maybe not in all of it, but keep watching. See the developments. I tell you, friend, if you're going to be successful as a Christian, and we use the word successful in the right way, if you're going to be successful, then you will do what the Lord would have you to do. You will be faithful even unto death. And the Lord will give you a crown of life. Great thing to face eternity as a faithful servant. May the Lord help us to do that. And ever bless His word to our hearts. Amen.